Good morning. Good morning. Again, it's another beautiful day that the Lord has made. And truly, the Bible said that we should rejoice and be exceedingly glad in it. And truly, I am excited to be here this morning. Truly, I thank God for each and every one of you, whether you're here inside the sanctuary this morning or you may be listening at this time. Truly, I thank God for you this morning. As well, definitely much prayer go out to your pastor and his family and for the entire New Journey church family as well. If you don't mind, we're going to just bow our heads for just a moment and go to God in a word of prayer, and then we'll move right on into today's message. Let us go to God in prayer. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, it's again that I come as humble as I know how. Lord, again, want to thank you for this day, this time and opportunity. Praying a special prayer now, Father God, for the pastor of this great church, Pastor Edge, him and his family. And I pray that you will continue to keep them right now in your care, build them up where they've been torn down, strengthen them right now where they're weak. I pray for the New Journey church family that you will keep them as well. I pray for this message, this word today, Heavenly Father, that as I preach, Heavenly Father, that you just loan me your mind, Lord, to be able to stand boldly and continue to preach to this dying world that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And I pray now, Heavenly Father, when it's all said and done, that it will be pleasing and acceptable in our eyesight. But I also pray, Lord, that when it's all said and done on this great day, Lord, that we can, when we leave out of here, that we leave better than what we came. For this is my prayer, I pray in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, for a few moments this morning, today's message will be coming out of the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10 this morning. And when you found 2 Corinthians chapter 12, going to look at verses 7 through 10 this morning. Again, one of Paul's letters here from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Reading from the New King James Version, and it reads as follows. "At least I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." For a few moments, and we know that God's word is already blessed this morning. And for a few moments this morning, I want to talk about a thorn in the midst of ministry. A thorn in the midst of ministry. Now, if we're not careful, and I think I need to say this on the front end of things, that when we talk about ministry, when I talk about ministry this morning, one of the things that you and I have to understand this morning, that if you're not careful, the world, people, Satan himself will have you and I convinced that ministry is easy, that ministry is glamorous, that everybody will pat you on the back, everybody will always congratulate you, and everybody is going to like you and love you. But I stopped by this morning to remind many of us and to even inform some of us that ministry is not always easy. Ministry is not glamorous at times. And ministry can be very hard at times. But nevertheless, we do ministry not for people, not for the world, but we do it for kingdom's sake.
That's right.
And for those of us who preach or even teach the gospel, we always have to watch Satan, because if you don't watch Satan, if I am not watching Satan, he will urge you and I to preach or teach a gospel that is reasonable but not powerful. A gospel that is exciting but has no authority. A gospel that flatters but does not turn people upside down so that they can be turned right side up. It is doubtful that God will use you and I greatly until he first of all has hurt you and I deeply. The late Dr. Billy Graham once said that if you and I are going to be or call ourselves being a child of the King, then you and I will have to be on good speaking terms with trials and tribulation. So if God is to use you and I, and if the Lord is going to use you and I, then pain and trouble will have to know our address. Jesus said in John 16 and verse number 33, Jesus said, in this world that you and I will have trials and tribulation, but be ye of good cheer, for he said he's overcome the world. And so when we look at the text this morning, when we begin to dissect the text this morning and look at Paul here in our text this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 7 through 10, we realize and we begin to understand that 2 Corinthians is written by Paul, who was a Jew by birth and a Roman by citizenship. Paul was a tent maker by trade and a lawyer by profession. He was a Pharisee by religious training and spoke 13 languages and 7 of them fluently. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised on the 8th day. And yet Paul, with all of his credentials, and yet when we look at Paul here in the text this morning, yes, the labels of the empire is on his luggage, and we find Paul right here in the season of his life. Paul has been everywhere preaching and teaching the gospel, and now Paul is coming to the end of his life, and God now has decided to afflict him with a thorn. Now, I want you to notice here in the text this morning, as we continue to examine the text, notice in the text that the same way that verse 7 opens is the same way that verse number 7 closes. And it reads as follows, again, verse number 7. Notice what the author of the text, how he opens it up, but he closes it the same way that he opens. And at least I should be exalted above measure. By the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me. And here it is, the same way it opened is the same way it closes. Lest I be exalted above measure. And so why in the world would the author of the text this morning, Paul here, open the same verse and close it the same way that he opened it, if that makes any sense? And I'm glad that you asked this morning. And the reason why Brother Paul did this morning, and it's a reminder to you and I as we continue to walk in this journey, as we continue to do ministry and do it with a spirit of excellency, Paul wants us to realize and he wants us to understand that unless he himself, unless you and I begin to think too highly of ourselves and begin to think that we are more than what God has called us, then God has to find a way to keep our feet on the ground. God has to keep you and I rooted and grounded above measure. Because here's the danger in ministry. Here's the danger in serving God. Because if God does not keep you and I rooted and above measure, then you and I will start glorying in ourselves rather than glorying in God. And when we start glorying in ourselves and not in God, God cannot get the glory. No flesh can glory in God's presence. For God is the foundation from which all else flows, and he is the root from which all else grows, and no flesh can glory in God's presence. Right. Now, there are three things here that Paul talks about, and he makes reference to the thorn that I want us to look at very briefly this morning, and then I'll take my seat. But again, want to make sure that you understand, if you don't take anything else away from today's message, that you understand that ministry is not easy. The first thing that Paul talks about when he comes down to this thorn that he's been afflicted with, he talks about the pain of the thorn. Again, Paul wants us to understand and realize the pain of the thorn. Now, when we read the text this morning, when we look at the text and we dissect the text this morning, the word thorn in the text means that it was a wooden stake. It's not the thorn that you and I think about on a rose bush, the small thorn that may prick our finger and we may say, ouch, and just move on about our daily business. No, that is not the thorn that Paul has been afflicted with. That is not the thorn that the text speaks about or speaks to this morning. But the thorn that Paul talks about this morning, the thorn that God has inflicted, that God has inflicted Paul with, it was a wooden stake driven right into his side. Now, I want you to think about that. I want you to think about still having to do ministry, go about doing God's business with a wooden stake driven right in the midst of your side. It hurts. Paul wants us to know it hurts. Paul wants us to know it's painful. And yet the Bible does not tell us what the thorn really is. And whatever is hurting you and I today, brothers and sisters, whatever thorn that you and I may be carrying around today, I want you to understand and I want you to realize this morning that, listen, this thorn is the very thing that keeps you and I close to God. As bad as it may sound, but it's the thorn that keeps you and I close to God. Because without the thorn, brothers and sisters, we could not be all that God wants us to be. The reason why many of us, whether you're listening to me this morning or whether you're sitting right here in the very presence this morning, the reason why many of us are here in church or listening to the sermon on any given Sunday morning is because if we're honest with ourselves, we all have a thorn in the flesh. Right. Many of us, the reason why we praise God with such passion is because we know God knows how to keep all of us close to himself with a thorn in the flesh. Okay. Brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but there could be something that may be bothering you this morning. There could be something that may be crooked on the inside of you this morning. There could be something that's broken on the inside of you, something that is hurting you. And here's the thing that God wants us to understand. Here's the thing that Brother Paul wants us to understand, that if God was to move it right now, we would stop praying. Whatever thorn it is that you're carrying, whatever sickness it is, whatever it is that you're going through right now, I am quite sure you have been like Brother Paul. I have been like Brother Paul. There have been things that have caused trouble in my life, things that have made me feel uncomfortable, and I have called on God, and I asked God, first of all, why me? And then, Lord, will you remove this thorn from my life? And yet, God has said no. And it's not because God is trying to be a mean God. It's not because God does not have anything else better to do. But God knows that if he removes the thorn at this very present season in your life, you and I will stop leaning and depending on him.
That's right.
If God was to remove the thorn from many of us right now, we would stop singing songs of praises to him. Many of us would stop teaching Bible class at Sunday school. Some of us would even go to the extent maybe of even stop preaching and teaching the gospel if God was to remove the thorn that is causing you and I trouble in the season of our lives. And the reason why you and I are so close to God is because we realize and we understand that we cannot make it unless his grace is sufficient. And I'm so glad about God's grace this morning. It could be a child on drugs. It could be a child that has run away from home. A husband who has made up in his mind that he is going to walk out on his family. A job that will not give you any peace this morning. An illness that you suffer day in and day out, and yet God has not moved. And we have to remember, brothers and sisters, we must remember that faith is not getting what we want, but faith is accepting what God gives. If we truly are going to do ministry, and we're going to do ministry with a spirit of excellency, if we're going to stand on God's holy word, and when you and I find ourselves in a season of life that is uncomfortable, you and I have to understand that faith is not getting so much what you and I want, but faith is accepting what God gives.
Right.
And when we look at the text this morning, look at what God has given Paul here. He didn't give Paul a pocket full of money. He didn't give Paul a smile on his face. But right now, when you read the text, Paul is hurting right now.
Right.
Paul does not have a smile on his face. Paul is in some serious pain.
Right.
And sometimes what God gives to us in our lives, sometimes God gives pain. Sometimes God gives suffering. Sometimes God gives heartbreak, trial, and tribulation on a daily basis.
Right.
Brothers and sisters, pain is the megaphone God uses to get the attention of an unlistening generation. Believe you me, God knows how to get your attention, and God knows how to get my attention.
That's right.
I believe it's worth saying one more time that pain is the megaphone God uses to get the attention of an unlistening generation. Now, aside from that, I want to make sure that as we continue to talk about the pain of this thorn, Paul is hurting here. Paul, yes, he's in pain. And brothers and sisters, many of us are just like Paul. We find ourselves today in pain. We find ourselves with some type of thorn that has caused nothing but agitation in our life. And we wish that God would remove it, but for whatever reason right now, God refuses to remove that thorn in our side. And the author of the text also wants to remind us that even though, and I want you to look here with me, even though Satan brought it, but God was the one that sent it. I want you to think about that for a moment. Satan brought the thorn, but God was the one that sent the thorn. And so you may ask, well, why is that so significant? Why should I listen very carefully to that? What's the great meaning? How does that apply to me and my life? And I'm glad that you asked this morning because, again, notice in the text, Satan was the one that brought the thorn, but God was the one that sent the thorn. And in other words, what the author of the text wants you and I to understand this morning, brothers and sisters, don't give Satan glory for what God is up to in your life.
That's right.
Don't ever give Satan glory for what God is up to in your life. Because many times we will take it because something bad happens to us. We will equate that to, well, if there's something bad happening, then Satan must be the one who's causing all of this. Mm-hmm. Something bad equals to Satan. Whether it's sickness, financial problems, heartaches, pain, things may not be going right in the marriage, things may not be going right on the job. If all these things are going bad, bad must equal Satan. I stopped by this morning to remind some of you and to even inform some of you that just because there may be some things happening in your life that may be bad, it may even make you feel uncomfortable, it does not always equal to Satan.
That's right.
Don't give Satan glory for what God is up to in your life. And so Paul talks about the pain of the thorn. But the next thing that Paul talks about in the text this morning, he talks about the purpose of the thorn. He said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure." God can't get glory out of your life. God cannot get glory out of my life if I am the one that's doing the preaching. God cannot get glory out of your life and my life if you and I are the ones that's doing the singing, if you and I are the ones that's doing the teaching or if we are the ones that's doing the leading. God cannot get glory if your name and my name gets top billing. In other words, brothers and sisters, that whatever it is that we do in ministry, whatever we do for kingdom's sake, when people look at you and I, do they see more of God and less of you and I? Or when we get up here and we do what we do, whether it's on Sunday morning inside of these four walls, or if we're outside of these four walls and we're doing kingdom work or supposed to be doing kingdom work, when people look at us, do they see you and I, or can they see the Christ inside of you and I doing his holy work? Brothers and sisters, whenever we come to God's house on any given day of the week, we need to check our egos at the front door. We need to leave our self-esteem in the car, and we need to leave our supposed self-importance at home. Because nobody is worthy of praise but God himself. Kind of hard to praise God when it's all about you.
That's right.
Hard to praise God when it's all about Brian Hood. But if you truly want to see God move in your life, in the life of your church, or even in your own personal prayer life, if you want to see God move, make it about God and less about you. And I declare God will begin to do a wonder in your life and in my life.
Amen.
The text here, Paul wants us to understand that the thorn here, he talked about the pain of the thorn, but he also talked about the purpose. But within that purpose, that listen, there's two purposes that this thorn serves. First of all, the thorn, it regulates the flesh. In our flesh, if we're not careful, we think that we're all that in a bag of chips. Brothers and sisters, I stopped by again this morning to remind many of us and inform some of us that we are not all of that. Shakespeare even once said, "What piece of a work is man?" And if we're not careful, brothers and sisters, just that very little statement there can mess us up. Because all it takes is 24 hours, and you can go from being on the top to being at the bottom.
Yep.
If you don't believe me, brothers and sisters, when you read and you study the text, Nebuchadnezzar thought that he was more than what God had called him to be. And a mistake that Nebuchadnezzar made, brothers and sisters, that he took his throne and he lifted his throne above God's throne. And in lifting his throne above God's throne, the Bible said at that very moment, he grew feathers like a bird and began to eat grass like kelp. And it was not until he raised his head and he truly realized who God was, that's when his reasoning returned to him. Brothers and sisters, it's dangerous when you think that you're more than the one who calls you. And whenever you and I think that we are more than the one who calls us, then you and I are insane. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to quit having the mentality and stop thinking that if I don't do God's work, that it will not get done. An awesome God that we serve, and you really think that just because you don't preach, that preaching will not get done? You think because you wake up one morning and you decide that you don't want to sing or give God praise, give God glory, that it won't get done? I stopped by this morning to remind, to inform that God always has somebody ready to do his will. So not only does the thorn regulate the flesh in serving its purpose, but the other thing that we must realize and the author wants us to understand, it rejuvenates our faith.
Yep.
Many times, brothers and sisters, you and I, we try to do the best that we can, and yet our good is still spoken evil of. The Bible tells us, be not weary in well-doing, because in due season you and I will reap if we faint not. There will be times as we go through this life, as we're walking with God, as we are doing ministry and doing it with a spirit of excellency, no matter how well you try to do, no matter how nice you try to be, there will still be time where your best is not enough. You will still get criticized. You will get scrutinized. People will still talk about you, laugh about you, but be not weary in well-doing, because in due season, you and I will reap if we faint not.
That's right.
Brothers and sisters, could it be that what God may be up to in your life and in my life right now, could it be that God may be pruning you and I right now? Because you do realize and you understand that if God does not cut on you and I can become top heavy. And what I mean by that, brothers and sisters, if you think about, if you know anything about bushes and flowers and plants, there's certain times of the year you have to prune them. Because if you don't prune them, they can't grow and blossom the way they need to be because they end up being top heavy. And there's times in our lives, there are seasons in our life that you and I will have to go through where God has to prune you and I. God has to cut on you and I. And I never said, and you will never find it in God's word where he said, every day will be a day of sunshine. That every day that you're going to feel like smiling, that every day that you're going to feel like you're on top of the world, there will be some seasons in your life God has to cut on you. God has to cut on me. But it's not that God is just trying to cause us pain and agony because he doesn't have anything else to better to do. But God wants us to truly be all that he wants us to be. And he has to cut on you and I. And in cutting on you and I, brothers and sisters, sometimes the very thing that may keep us from serving God, the very thing that may be dragging you and I down, God has begun to cut some of those things away. And it could be friends. It could be some family members. It could even be a job, brothers and sisters, that's getting in the way, an addiction. Whatever it may be, God has to prune on you and I. He has to cut on you and I so that we can be all that he wants us to be. But the last thing here, and I will take my seat. He talks about the pain of the thorn. He talks about the purpose of the thorn. But he also talks about the power. Brothers and sisters, there is power. And I thank God for God's power today. And how I know that God has power. The reason why I know God has power. And yes, the thorn itself has some power. Enough power to even make Brother Paul feel very uncomfortable. Enough power to make Paul get out of his comfort zone. And yet, when we look at the text this morning, when we examine the text, Paul has asked God not one time, not two times, but he asked God three times, Lord, will you please remove the thorn from me? And it's not that God couldn't do it, because God is all powerful and God can do whatever he wants, when he wants, and how he wants, to whom he wants, because that's the sovereignty of God. But in this very moment, the Lord said no. But not only did God say no, and that wasn't the end of the story, but he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And brothers and sisters, no matter what it is that we're going through and where we find ourselves in our season of life, you and I need to remember that God's grace is sufficient.
Amen.
Whether you're sick right now, dealing with financial issues, a marriage that is on the brakes, whatever the case may be, a child that has gone rogue, God's grace is sufficient. When nothing else will keep you, God's word will keep you. God's word will give you peace. God's word will give you comfort. When nothing else will keep you. And I truly thank God for that. It's his grace and mercy that keeps me day in and day out. Left up to me, and if Satan had his way, I'd have lost my mind a long time ago. But I'm so glad, even with the pressures of this world, God's grace still keeps me intact. God's grace keeps me from having to go to the hospital or being locked up because of his grace. I truly thank God for his grace. One Friday evening, he decided to die for somebody like you and I. He was hung on an old rugged cross, and yet he continued to die for you and I. I truly thank God for God's grace today. I thank God even when I don't feel my very best at times, his grace is sufficient. Even sometimes when I feel like giving up, God's grace is sufficient. So instead of complaining about your thorn today, as I get ready to take my seat, I want to encourage you, thank God for your thorn. Thank God for what the Lord is up to in your life right now. Because when you come out on the other side, believe it or not, you're going to be much stronger. You're going to have a better prayer life. You're just going to be better all the way around if you continue to hold to God's unchanging hand. A thorn in the midst of ministry, I'm willing to bear that thorn because I know God's grace is sufficient. May God bless you today. May God keep you. Is my prayer.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.